98% of our thoughts, our feelings and emotions and our judgments and our points of view are actually things we're picking up from other people.
Welcome to the Dr. Espen podcast, where we explore the latest in quantum science, personal development, consciousness and spirituality, health, as well as business and money mastery. Join me as I interview experts from all over the world sharing the most incredible stories of transformation. This is where we provide you with the exact tools and coaching activities you need to expand your consciousness in each of the eight areas of your life. For more info on our events, programs, coaching, etc., go to drespen.com for the full quantum experience. Welcome to the Dr. Espen podcast. I am Espen. Today I'm joined by Dr. Dane Heer, an author, changemaker, speaker, and co-creator of what's called Access Consciousness. You might have heard of this, which is one of the largest personal development companies practiced in over 176 countries around the world. He's also the founder of the International Being You Day. I read that and I was like, if we take one day out of our 365 days and just fully be us, imagine if we could continue doing that. I want to talk a little bit about this soon. I think this is a great initiative. Dr. Dane has, for the last 20 years, traveled the world now, sharing insights on happiness, relationships, personal development, growth, and more. After he grew up in the ghetto in Los Angeles, he was exposed to a constant abuse that he never chose to be a victim of. So I think we all can kind of relate to challenges that we've had in our own life as we hear this story, perhaps. In his talks, presentations, and workshops, currently he's here in Australia, which is really, really cool. He uses tools and offers practical steps for energetic processes to get people out of the conclusion of judgment and back to the opportunity to realize that they have the power to change anything and everything. So I'm really excited to have this conversation with you and also about Access Consciousness. But let me first start by saying, welcome to Australia. How are you today?
Oh, man. Dr. Espen, I'm thrilled. And I'm up in Noosa. So, I mean, how did I get so lucky? It is just, I love Australia. Just hands down, I love Australia. And certain places in Australia just really have such a beautiful connection with nature.
Quite incredible indeed. And it's a privilege to have you here. By the time this interview comes out, you might have already been, you know, on your way. But, you know, thanks for hanging out anyway.
Great to be here for a while, you know, however long that is.
Exactly. Let's hope you stay for a while. I want to start with the first question. Reading through your bio and understanding a bit of your story, growing up in the ghetto in LA and other things, you went from being on the verge of suicide to becoming a best-selling author. You've got 380,000 plus followers all around the world, students in well over 150 countries. How did you go from where you were to where you are now?
Well, so I got to this place. I was doing everything that I could. After chiropractic school, I started my first practice and then I started my second practice. And I had been unhappy for the better part of 3 years. And I was doing everything that I knew at the time. I was reading the books. I was going to workshops. I was doing the work. And still, I was waking up unhappy, depressed, not wanting to be here. And finally, one day after a weekend workshop where I thought I found the answer to my happiness again, 3 days later, I woke up and there was the looming specter of failure and everything else I was dealing with. And for the first time in my 30 years on the planet, I finally gave up hope. I just had enough. And I'm like, universe, you either my life changes or I'm out of here. You have 6 months. And I literally set a date to end my life and had a plan to do it. And it gave me such peace because I thought I was going to get out of here. Obviously, I'm still here. So the universe had other plans. But I saw an ad for Access Consciousness and I went and I had one session of something called BARS. And I went into it literally angry, depressed, and suicidal, wanting to get the flock out of here. I came out of it an hour and 15 minutes later with a gratitude for being alive, knowing I was never going to go to that place. Well, in addition to doing this, I started getting that done once a week and it felt like the space that I had available was something I always knew should be possible. And it continued to increase with each of these sessions. But also each time the lady that was doing the session, she would give me a tool to use until I saw her again the next week. And what got created was, whereas the universe wanted to cave, whenever the universe wanted to cave in on my head again, like it had with everything else I'd done, I would use this tool and I would have that space again. And it just kept increasing and increasing and increasing. And I remember after that very first session, I was like, if it feels this way to be alive, and if this amount of change is possible this fast, I'm in. Because I became a chiropractor. I'm much like you, because I wanted to change people's lives. You know, I saw people creating miracles. I just couldn't seem to do it somehow. And once I was introduced to these tools and this way of looking at things, I went, this is actually possible. So that's a very long answer. And the real short answer is, what I tapped into was the awareness of what's actually possible for us to be. And not that any of us has to be like any of the rest of us, but a sense of the lightness and the miracles we're actually capable of if we just have the tools to be able to institute them. And so I'm a big fan of the tools, but I'm also a big fan of the acknowledgement of the miracles that we are capable of and that our lives can be if we choose.
Beautiful. And just before we hopped on, we talked briefly about the innate intelligence scientifically proven to be within every person, or that is every person. So I think, you know, from sharing this, going from, you know, where you were to where you are able to be now, you mentioned access consciousness. And I think many of our listeners and viewers at this point would be quite curious, as I am, to learn a bit more about it. Maybe give us your quick, you know, summary of what is access consciousness. Is it a methodology? You went to a treatment. How are you involved? And so on.
So I guess I'm technically the co-creator of it, because my business partner, we call him the founder of it. He started it about 10 years before I came across it. And within about a month of doing it, he and I were fast friends, and we were starting to co-create, meaning explore the tools, explore the nature of consciousness and how it practically, pragmatically affects us. But short version is, access consciousness is basically a way of accessing the consciousness that's already within you. And to create the miraculous life you always knew should be possible that you haven't quite been able to get to yet. And we give you tools to handle the trenches of life, to take the things that seem yuck, stuck, and impossible to move and change, and show you that they're indeed possible, because it's always our point of view behind it that's creating the effect.
You know what I love to do? I love to interview people that are smart. So this, we're going well so far. But in other words, also to add to it, I love when I interview people that are just, not only do I know that they've done some great things in the world, but I've got friends of mine and people that I know that have, you know, raved about the work. And so this gives me, because I always trust the people that I trust and so on. So with access consciousness, what are some of these tools? If listeners and viewers want to learn more, obviously we'll share the website, et cetera, in a moment. But what are some of these tools that you use as a part of the methodology?
Oh, so many. So let's see, where would a good place to start be? Because a certain amount of them require a little bit of pre-knowledge of different things. So, okay, so one of them is the awareness that 98% of our thoughts, our feelings and emotions and our judgments and our points of view are actually things we're picking up from other people. And science has finally started to talk about this with, you know, the discovery of mirror neurons, et cetera. But, you know, it speaks so dynamically to at least an element of what you talk about with quantum physics and the quantum field, which is the idea of your point of, well, one of the ways that I like to put it is your point of view creates your reality. But the other is that we are all interconnected in this field. So what happens is, you know, and we all know, if you hang out with happy people, you get happier. If you hang out with sad people, you get sadder. If you hang out with judgmental people, you start judging more. Well, so it shouldn't be a surprise, but literally this idea that 98% of our thoughts, our feelings, and our emotions don't actually belong to us. And so there's a tool that you can use, which is really simple. When you're in the middle of a judgment, doubt, fear, yuck of any form, you just go, who does this belong to? If it lightens up at all, it's not actually yours. And all you got to do is return it to sender with consciousness attached. And what's funny is you don't even have to know who the person is. But if you're experiencing, and if you were to do this for 3 days to every thought, feeling, and emotion you have, at the end of 3 days, you walk around like you're in a walking, talking meditation. because you've broken the machine that makes you believe that everything you perceive is yours. Because if you look at it, you know, if I ask you, so what's the difference between I perceive sadness and I'm sad?
I know.
You know?
Big one. Big difference. I'm experiencing sadness. I'm having this temporary human experience of sadness, but I'm not sadness itself. And we walk around telling ourselves these. I am sick. I am this. Anyway, back to you.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Exactly. And I, since you're bringing that up, so if we look at that, I'm sad. If you go, who does this belong to? And you realize, oh, I'm perceiving sadness. I am not sadness. And if you'll do this for 3 days, you break the machine that makes you think that everything you perceive is yours. And there's another tool. I'm just going to go straight into that, I think.
Yeah, hit it.
Because given the folks that listen to you, there's, you know, we're at a place where we can just talk about what is, you know. And so there's something that we use called the clearing statement. And it's the short form for it is POC and POD. POC and POD, which stands for going back to the point of creation of the thoughts, feelings, and emotions immediately preceding the decision to make this thing whatever we've made it, basically, and or the point of destruction. And basically, the way it works is this. It's like the room you're in, you know, if you look at the walls, they look solid, but science tells us they're 99.999999% space.
Exactly.
But we've created them as solid, so we can't walk through them. So what if we could... What if it's the same thing with the limitations in our lives? What if it's our choice to create it, to take a point of view about it in a certain way that is how we're seeing it? This clearing statement, from my point of view, is one of the biggest upgrades in personal development since we've had personal development. And I don't say that because it's part of Access Consciousness, because personally, I would love everybody to use it no matter what they do. Because what it does, it asks the consciousness of you to go back to the place where you took a limited point of view and locked it in as your reality. Whether that's last week, whether that's when you were a kid, whether it's 100 billion years ago, depending on what you believe in as far as your own personal cosmology. But what this thing is so effective. I use it in every session. I use it in every class. I use it with myself every single day. And the way it works is this: when you realize you've got some limited point of view, like, I don't know, you could look at, like, let's say we look at our financial situation. It's not what we want it to be, or we'd like to have more engagement with more people, and it doesn't seem to happen. We can start the process of change. And part of the beauty of it is we at least have somewhere to start the process for change. And, you know, I know you present a huge amount of tools to people, ways of being able to go through things. And this can add to that, but also it's like, if we just have somewhere to start, if we can just pull one string on this ball of yarn that has been, you know, twisted and bent in our lives, this starts to create a place where there's some space for something different. So all you've got to do is take some upset that you have in your world, or some point of view that you realize it's not really serving you, but you can't quite let it go. Okay. And I'm sure we could all think of at least one, if not hundreds of thousands. Okay. And all you got to do is just get it, just be with it and just go, okay, everything that is, I'm willing now to let it go. Okay. I'm willing to destroy the structure of it. I'm willing to uncreate it, but basically I'm willing to let this go. So everything that is and everything that holds it in place, if you're willing to let it go, all you got to do is just acknowledge that. And then we run the clearing statement, which is short form is POC and POD. You just go POC and POD all that. The long form is right and wrong, good and bad, POC and POD, all nine, shorts, boys, POVADs, and beyonds, which we have a video. We have a website called theclearingstatement.com. It's free. There's a 20-minute video of us, my worldwide coordinator, and I explaining it. But the short form for it is POC and POD. And what that does is it's like, you know how in the world there's cancel clear as a way of trying to change something. You say something, you're like, oh, I want to take that back. You say something, you realize it's not serving you. Or you do something and you realize it's not serving you. All you got to do is go, okay, everything that is, I let that go now. And POC and POD. And it sounds deceptively simple until you try it. And it is actually deceptively simple. I was going to say it sounds almost too simple until you try it. And then you realize how simple it can actually be to change what are some of even our most fixed points of view, because it's like you pointed out, and I'm not sure if that was before we started recording or not, but this oneness that we are is not about fixed point of view. It's about flow, continuous flow. So anywhere we're taking a fixed point of view, anywhere we're solidifying something into a negative or a positive or a separation, that's basically going against the universe itself, and we have different choices available.
Wow. Okay, so this makes a lot of sense. And as you said, imagine if it actually is and was that simple. My point of view on this is really simple. We are unique expressions of source entangled in a field of intelligence and everything, everywhere, all the time. And as conscious creators, we can choose to, and I'll put my spin on it, cut the cord and undo, I don't know if you want to call it karmic contracts or a quantum entanglement principle within a field or a person or a situation that you've entangled with that you believe to be yours. And so because you believe it to be yours, you're co-creating it all over and over and over again, but you can let that go and send it back to sender. And as such, then it allows space for more of the co-creation that you want to have based on love rather than fear or entanglement in a lower vibration. Is that about accurate?
Yep, absolutely. And that, so that dynamically speaks to that first tool, the who does this belong to? Mm. And then the second actually allows you to actualize that. And not only from the place of being part of a field in which others have had more input that you bought as yours, but all of the creative ways in which we are creatively limiting ourselves and being able to change those points of view also. And in so doing, we create more consciousness in our lives. And the only time we create a difficulty in our lives is when we function from unconsciousness, which is unawareness, or anti-consciousness, which is when we go against our awareness. And so what this is about is undoing the unconsciousness, undoing the anti-consciousness, so that the consciousness we naturally are can allow our lives to work as beautifully as they actually should.
Beautiful. So may we take this on board, and as complex as it may seem, perhaps decide if you're listening, watching, feeling, tuning in, if simply identifying those entanglements of a lower vibration, a challenging relationship, your issue with finances or whatever it might be, and deciding if we can understand the concept that 98%+ of that is not ours or doesn't belong to us, at least starting the awareness of choosing mentally to let it go and choosing mentally to untangle from it. I think that, as you mentioned, trying that for a period of time, I mean, what have we got to lose? That is phenomenal. I'm in for the challenge.
You and me both. And exactly that. What do you have to lose? You know?
And exactly.
And that really
and
is
I love how it. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, this kind of reminds me, I geek out sometimes. I kind of say this is like a fifth dimensional technology supplied in the upper third dimension. You know, we're kind of working with the quantum field. We're not just working with the five limited senses here, because we understand that we are consciousness. We're not just working with the really small set of tools. We're working with the real tools that can really change reality, at least reality as we know it. I want to ask you a quick question. I realized that you really teach a lot of really good things about self-sabotage. And one of the things I want to ask is, in what way does self-sabotage play a role in ruining our lives? And how can we overcome self-sabotage to make 2024, or whichever year you're listening to this interview, the absolute best year of our life?
Okay, so number one, we got to recognize our greatest form of self-sabotage is self-judgment, and or buying the judgments others have of us and taking those on as though they're ours, which to a certain extent we've discussed. And we got to recognize that judgment is always a lie, which is an interesting idea, because in the universe, there's no good and bad, right and wrong. Is a sun better than when it goes supernova and destroys everything around it so it can be created? No, it's all part of what is. And so our arbitrary distinction, believing that our distinction into good and bad, right and wrong is actually somehow a way of navigating the world, is one of the biggest lies that we've ever been taught. And here's the other part, is the people listening to this and watching this are the people that tend to be in judgment of themselves while feeling like they don't fit in, while feeling like they don't get it like other people do, while knowing there are other possibilities, while desiring to see a greater world, but feeling like they're not good enough to create it. And so this judgment that we do of ourselves is, and also to another extent, the judgment of others. But once again, the people listening to this, they don't tend to judge others. And I know that may sound like a heck of a blanket statement. It's just that after many years of working with a lot of people around the world, I've come to recognize a few things. And so somebody who's listening to this, they tend to think they're judgmental, but the only person they really judge is themselves. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and it's one of those things where if you think you're judgmental, somebody who's truly judgmental never thinks, oh, I'm so judgmental. They just know they're right and you're wrong. And so we need to get this awareness that even if we've been judged really harshly our entire lives, it doesn't mean it's true. It tends to be that the sensitive, aware, different individual, the one who's here to create a different possibility for the world, tends to be the one that feels wrong and tends to be the one that will do the self-sabotage and judge themselves. And if you look at a lot of people that are not doing anything great for anybody, I could point out a whole list of politicians if you're interested. And I don't care what your politics are. You could look on any side of the aisle. Okay. Those people are never in judgment of themselves. They don't do self-sabotage. They're willing to sabotage everybody else because they know they're right. And so to a certain extent, those of us who have a kinder, gentler nature, who have a desire for greatness for everyone, we think somehow we're going to create a greater world if we judge us. That's not how that works. It's one of the greatest lies we've ever bought and been taught. So would it be okay if I use this clearing statement to weave this in here? And because I think it might be informative for people of sort of how to use it. And then, and what I'd like, if y'all would just go with me on this quick little journey we're going to go on here, because, and then just notice how you feel. Are you lighter after we do it? Maybe you're lighter. Maybe there's no change. If you're heavier, that is very seldom. But if that's the case, then there's something else that needs to be addressed. But as we do this, so let's do this. So everything you've done to learn that judging you is appropriate, and it will be a way to make sure you are not a bad, terrible, vicious, mean, awful, evil person. Will you let that go? Or is the way I like to say it, will you destroy and uncreate it? Destroy the structure and uncreate, meaning take your creative energy out of creating that fixed point of view and let it go forth so it can actually be used to create your life. Everything that is, will you destroy and uncreate it, please? Thank you. Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, povets, and beyonds. Now, for those of you who think it's time for the little men in white coats to come take me away, you might be right. But I will tell you, if you start using this, you're probably going to see something change, okay? And so also, everything you've done to believe you have to be perfect and that everything you do has to be right, good, perfect, and correct. And so you judge you to try to be right, good, perfect, and correct because somewhere you think if you don't, you're going to be a bad, terrible, vicious, mean, awful, evil person. Will you destroy and uncreate that and let it go, please?
Yes.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, povets, and beyonds. So now all of the strategies that you've developed that are about secretly judging you and simultaneously trying to maintain a sense of lightness and a sense of positivity and believing the lie that there is so much to judge you for that you may never get there to that lightness and that positivity you desire. Will you let that go and destroy and uncreate it, please?
Yes.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, povets, and beyonds. So also everything that doesn't allow you to recognize the gift of actually liking you, caring for you, having your own back, and being a nurturing source for you. Will you destroy and uncreate it and let it go, please?
Yes.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, povets, and beyonds. And now while we're at it, all the lies that you bought, let's do this actually. All the lies you bought about who, what, where, when, why, and how you are and how you have to be from your mom and dad before the age of two, before you could even talk. All of the stuff that is stuck in your world that is pre-verbal and precognitive that form the bedrock of what you think has to be a limitation that is so real you can't put words to it. You can't really even grasp it, but it's underneath everything else and has been there forever, but isn't even yours. It's something you bought because you were so energetically aware of mom, so energetically aware of dad. And most of you, if you acknowledge it, probably came to try to make your parents happy. And when they would not allow that, then you go to the lie that you are somehow a failure. Everything that is, will you destroy and uncreate it and let it go, please? Right, yes. And wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, povets, and beyonds. So if you do this, if you can recognize, you know, the subject that you brought up, the self-sabotage, the interesting part is, if the only thing that we're looking at is present day and trying to deal with these things here, and we don't have the ability to go down under, go to the past where the unconscious choices were made before we could even talk, then we're always going to be, it's like we're always going to be trying to cut the weeds rather than go to, you know, the roots and vaporize them from there. And so what this clearing statement does is it vaporizes the thing from the roots based on the question that we ask, the conversation that we have. In this case, to follow some of the threads that lead to the self-sabotage that we didn't even realize we were doing, but also had no idea that we could change. And now's the time for us to change these things. We deserve better than we have been giving ourselves. And truly, now's the time.
Agreed. Done.
So, Dr. Espen, how's that feeling in your world as we do that?
I truly do believe in the power of belief. And because I've believed it, because I believe it, I've already achieved it. Because I understand that I'm a quantum being operating in this temporary reality, I truly see these tools as nothing short of superpowers. And so I really want to thank you, first of all, for sharing this with us, but also for allowing our listeners and viewers to actually go through the process. So again, ladies and gentlemen, if you were driving or doing something different at that time when you didn't have the chance or feel like you didn't get to go deep enough, go back and watch this again, repeat the statements, write it out if necessary, and let it go in your mind, let it go energetically, and do the process accordingly. And of course, if this has been useful, certainly been very, very valuable for me so far, please share this with as many people as you can, because powerful tools of consciousness are here, I believe now, in these times for us in this time of whatever is happening in the world. And we should certainly take this opportunity to use them, particularly when it comes back to receiving that love and appreciation for ourselves, letting go of lower frequency of judgment, and remember that we are the creators of that. So my heart goes out with tremendous gratitude, Brian. That was beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I want to add one other awareness for everybody to please use in every area of life, and that is, and it's really simple. It may take a little while to sort of grok it, you know, and really get how it is, because it's for us each individually, it's its own thing. But what's true for you will always make you lighter, and a lie for you always makes you heavier. And some people just seem to inherently know that, and they're willing to choose what makes them lighter. And, you know, and they tend to annoy other people because they follow their own knowing all the time, which is great. But even as we're doing this, it's like, as you get lighter, that's accessing more of what's true for you. And so we've all bought so many lies about everything. And yet there's, like you're saying, it's time for some miraculous tools and some miraculous awarenesses that take us not from linearly, you know, pulling apart each brick in the prison of our own making, but like exploding the damn thing and then starting from there, you know, mm-hmm. And this awareness that what's true makes you lighter, anything that makes you lighter is true for you, even if it's not for the person next to you, even if it's not what you thought was light. And if you can allow that to be the guide for everything, you find yourself being led to miracles quite literally in a really beautiful way, because that's acknowledging what is actually true for us is that lightness.
Beautiful. And again, tuning into the intuition, what makes me feel amazing? What makes me feel light? Being around these people does not feel good. Reading this book makes me feel amazing. Taking time out for me makes me feel so present. Great. Let's start to tune in to what's already here around us. Segment quickly, Doc, I want to ask you this. What do you think is happening in the world right now?
Oh, well, I mean, I will answer in the way that I think you're asking the question. What I see is we're having an awakening of consciousness that simultaneously the powers that be, the powers that have been, the powers that think they be are amping up everything they can to try to get everybody to go back into the drama where they have what they consider the control that they so desire, but it's not going to work. Sorry. And like you and I talked about, we've already won, and it's not even a matter of winning or losing. It's a matter of recognizing that winning and losing are not relevant. Being is. And that's where we're going. And to the degree that we're willing to allow ourselves to have it and be it, that's where we are. And now having said that, there's one other caveat that I want to give for people listening going, yes, it makes me lighter and look at my friggin' life. Okay. So, and I absolutely get that. Believe me, do I get that? Okay. Lots of personal experience in knowing, yes, that's lighter and why can't I pay rent kind of thing is what I used to experience a lot of. And what I want to say is all you got to do, get the sense of if you could have anything as your life in the next 5 years, what would it be? What finances? What if you had ease with money? Get the sense of ease with money. Get the sense of having great relationships with friends, family, loved ones, lovers, wife, husband, whatever it is you desire. Just and don't put too much stress on this. We're going with a really quick energetic awareness because this, more than anything else, is a way of giving yourself the awareness of what you would like to create, but also what you're capable of creating that other people may not be. Okay. So ease with money, great relationships, get the sense of whatever you do for creation and money in that is flowing, creative, changing all the time so you don't get bored and gives you a sense of fulfillment. And get the sense of knowing that you are a contribution to the people in the world that you would like to be. And it just thrills you to be able to be that. And get the sense of waking up in the morning, looking in the mirror and liking that person. Now, everything that doesn't allow that and everything that doesn't allow you to perceive it, to know it, to receive it, to actually be able to be that, everything that's in the way, yours or anybody else's, will you let it go and destroy and uncreate it?
Yes.
Right, wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, povets, and beyonds. Now, if you'd be willing to, whatever that is, when you get the sense of that energy, and just get it in front of you, like imagine living that, okay? And the question I asked was very specific in that if you could have anything in the next 5 years, because 5 years is too long for us to figure out, which means we just have to go with asking for it, basically. So if you could get the sense of that, get the energy of it, if you will, however you sense it, feel it, whatever you want to call it, and then pull energy into it from all over the universe, who's going to help make it a reality for you. Okay. I can do this based on the nature of, you know, listening to Dr. Espen. You guys have a sense of that, you know, and now let little trickles go out to everyone and everything is going to help make it a reality for you that you don't even know yet, that you're not cognitively needing to control or connect to. Because if you allow it, the universe will handle that for you. This wonderful innate intelligence, you know, what I would call consciousness, same thing. And so, and then next step is what if you would allow yourself to actually be nurtured, cared for, contributed to by the entire world, by the universe, by the world, by the universe, whatever you want to call it. And also, what if you could have your life and create it in such a way is to actually be cared for and nurtured by people also. So rather than what we've thought we needed to do of separate and go into our cave in order to shut out the world because all they're doing is taking and all they're doing is judging and all they're doing is all this. Yes, there are a lot of those, but you know what? There are also a lot of brilliant, amazing contributory people. And if we can acknowledge that and then ask for them, and then in fact, get the sense of all of these things I talked about. And I do realize it may be going quickly for some of you. So once again, feel free to listen or watch again, right? But if we could get the sense of all of that and then just ask for it, say, hey, universe, consciousness, God source, oneness, field, whatever it is that you that works for you, please, I'm asking for this. And I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to be anything. I'm willing to actually let go of anything. I'm willing to let go of anyone, as long as it's in integrity with who I am, that will allow this to occur. So I'm actually asking for some change here. And everything that doesn't allow that, will you destroy and uncreate it and let it go? Yes. Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, povets, and beyonds.
Whew. No words. Just a present pause. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. I want to ask quickly about energy, about life force, and how to use energy and life force for success, wholeness, homeostasis, abundance, whatever it is that I seek, that you may seek, that people watching or listening may be seeking. How do we use energy, life force, to create the life and the business or impact of our dreams?
So it's interesting because that sort of ties together everything that we've just spoken about, in that energy and energetic awareness is something we all are, is something we all have, and it's not something we've been taught. In fact, in many areas, it's been just avoided as an airy-fairy, you know, woo-woo concept. And then in other areas, like if you start studying metaphysics, et cetera, then it's so airy-fairy and woo-foo in the way that some people present it, that you then avoid that. So now it's like, what? But if we can recognize that where it really starts is with our subtlety of awareness, and if we can also recognize, and so that awareness that we have is actually an awareness of energy. It's, but energy is not one thing. Energy is the universe. So it involves all things. So, you know, the happiness you get from seeing somebody thrive, that's an energy. The sadness you see when you see somebody choose against themselves, that's an energy. Hugging a person where it feels like your entire universe melts with theirs and you both get greater, that's an energy and an awesome one. And then hugging somebody who's like a rock on legs, that's an energy. And just in those small examples, you realize that, well, we all know those, you know, we all know. So we are all actually aware of energy. And what I found is that those who are most aware oftentimes think they're the least aware because they've been invalidated the most. And in fact, like I used to think I didn't get energy. And I literally, to one point of your question, I facilitate classes that I call energetic synthesis of being, which is about exposing people to their being in communion with energy as a way of creating. So, but I thought I didn't get energy because when I was a little kid, I was so sensitive and so aware, and I experienced so much abuse, literally physical, sexual, emotional, every form of abuse available, that I went, ah, this is too much. And I just shut it all out. So in this conversation, I'd also like to address the people where you say energy and they think they don't get it, that actually did get it more than anybody else, but didn't know what to do with it. So they've shut it off. And this is where we get to use a clearing statement too, which is really cool because it's just changing a point of view, a decision that we made. So all those of you who maybe think you don't get energy or it's been a weird airy-fairy thing, and those of you who actually got it so dynamically that it felt like you wouldn't survive if you kept that, so you shut it off, put up walls and barriers, shoved yourself out of your body, shoved your awareness out of your body, will you destroy and uncreate all that, please, and let it go?
Yes.
Thank you. Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, povets, and beyonds. So to that point then, if we're willing to be here and be aware of the energy that everything presents to us, we can navigate our world from a far more subtle way. Rather than waiting for the big wall to show up, we can perceive it as others' points of view or our points of view start to make a wall energetically that's going to get in our way, for example. That's one use of it. And if we can also look and recognize that every successful business person, well, almost all successful business people, actually are aware of energy. That's how they do what they do. That's how they choose what they choose. One of my favorite examples is Richard Branson, where he would come up with an idea and he knew it made him lighter. You know, it's true makes you lighter. And he knew it. And a lot of the people around him didn't get it. And he's like, no, we need to do this. They're like, yeah, but this and this and this. He's like, no, we need to do this. And he's disrupted entire industries as a result of following that knowing. So where these come together, and a third element of being able to utilize this in a different way, but where this comes together is this awareness of what's going on, the acknowledgement of our knowing, the acknowledgement of what's true makes us lighter and a lie makes us heavier. And then the third element of being able to engage with the energy rather than avoid it as a way of actualizing or creating, actualizing, you know, they talk about manifestation. The meaning of manifestation, the definition is how it shows up. And there are a lot of people that talk about manifesting, but manifestation is how it shows up. Actualization is what you want to do in most cases. Actualization is that it shows up. So the way we then can actualize is very much like the thing that I just walked everybody through. That was a large, you know, sort of an overview of if you got to have anything as your life in the next 5 years, what would it be? And what you do in that. And some of you are like, oh, I didn't really walk through the exercise. That's okay. That's why you can go listen and watch again if you're interested, if that's something that you feel will contribute to you. And you are the one who knows. You are the only one who knows, by the way. Nobody knows more about your life than you, okay? Not Dr. Espen, not Dr. Dane. We don't know more than you about you, okay? Please know that and be willing to follow that knowing. But as you do, if you get the sense, so we talked about this large level overview of having ease with money, having great relationships, doing what you like, creating, having it change, all of these aspects, which if you follow that, you kind of go, yeah, baby, you know? Well, that's the enthusiasm that we could live our lives from. And nobody's ever told us. It's like this great secret that almost nobody is even willing to know still at this point, even though we're trying, okay? But if we look at that then, that sense of something being able to be different and how it would show up for us is the beginning of actualizing that. And all we've got to do, and this is where, and this is another thing that most people don't get, and I have talked to people about it for 24 years, and people sort of get it, okay? But ask and you shall receive is actually how things work. And it's, of course, it, you know, with being a dynamically gross oversimplification of quantum physics and the quantum realm, it's a very similar thing. Ask, and when you're willing to be it, you'll receive it by being it. And you got to be willing to be something before you can receive it. So ask and you shall receive, and getting the sense of what you actually desire in any area. And it can be where you do it overall, like we did, or let's say you've got a business and it kind of is up and down and all around, you're not quite sure. Well, just tap into it for a moment and get the sense of what would it be like if it were everything you wished it could be or hoped it could be, and get the sense of that, and then ask for it. I know it's weird. Ask for it. And then, but also with this clearing statement, when you go, everything that doesn't allow that, destroy and uncreate it, pock and pot. What happens is because your point of view creates your reality. And it just keeps going, you know, further along into the interview, the ADHD wants to say more stuff, which is really fun. Okay, so because your point of view creates your reality, when you're asking for something, the limitation on that being able to show up is based on our presumptive reality of the nature of reality itself, but also as it relates to that thing. So if we're asking for more ease with money, for example, all of our points of view that we bought from mom and dad and everybody else before this moment about how difficult money is and we can't have it with ease and you can't just ask and receive and you're selfish and all of these things are the points of view that limit our asking and receiving. Asking and you shall receive absolutely works. The difficulty is what we're asking for based on our points of view are not what we think we're asking for. Getting in touch with a sense, even a sliver of a sense of what you would truly like to have. Even, and the reason I say 5 years, when, and I apologize, I feel like people are going in circles at this point, and I can understand that because there's also a bit of energy present here too. But the reason I say, if you look from the place, if there's anything you want to change, ask what, if I could have this be anything in 5 years, what you're doing in that is you're taking out today's problem and your mental solution, and you're putting it, you have to put it in the hands of the universe. You have to put it in the hands of something that is beyond your mind. Because if you're looking at 5 years in the future, that's beyond your ability to figure out with your current problem solution scenario. So when you ask for that, what's going to happen is you get a sense of it, you ask for it. And now if you're willing, and if you have the tool for it, because the universe won't give you anything you can't handle, now the points of view that are keeping that from showing up are going to start presenting themselves to you. What do you do when that shows up? Well, you can get cranky, you can get frustrated. You know, like you ask for more money and the point of view of, oh, you'll never have money. You're a selfish little brat. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute, where'd that come from? And you realize, oh, that occurred when I was 17 and I wanted the car and dad said no, because he didn't have the money and he felt bad and he tried to make me wrong. So I would back off because he felt, and you're like, whoa, there was a whole universe I wasn't expecting. What do you do with that? You go, okay, everything that is, everything that holds that in place, I'm making a different choice now. I destroy and uncreate all of that and everything that allows it to exist. And I now let it go. And then you go, all the weird shit Dane said, or pock and pod all that, or right and wrong, good and bad, pod and pock, all nine, or pock and pod, doesn't matter, pod and pock, pock and pod, all nine, shorts, boys, povads, and beyonds. And then there's a brief moment where you realize, oh, and you sense a lightness in this thing, and you realize that your request to change something now has exposed one of the points of view that was limiting that from occurring. And our point of view creates our reality. So you expose one of the points of view. Now you have this tool, the Pock and Pod, that allows you to change that point of view. And you start to have a sense of lightness in this area that may have been stuck ever since you were a little kid. And that starts to allow you to recognize that you can do this with everything. And then the world becomes your oyster and you realize you're not stoppable. And you do recognize that it's not just about mentally believing in miracles. It's about physically actualizing them with how we create our lives.
Whew. Whew. Yes. Strong presence here. I trust that for those who have been watching and listening, breathing into this, that you've identified some things in your life that you could use this process on. And with, you know, powerful tools, you could do this across all the things that no longer serve you. I want to ask you one last, there's two last questions, okay? My favorite one at the end. But before that, I want to ask, can you please give us your 2 cents worth on the power of gratitude and why it's so important in our lives to experience, receive, and express gratitude?
Absolutely. You know, what's very interesting is I was doing an interview recently with this really cool guy. And he said one of the things his father taught him about when he was, from the time he was young, was appreciate rather than expect. He said appreciation over expectation. And it was so cool because we had this conversation about the gift of having appreciation for everything rather than the expectation, because what happens with expectation, projection and expectation are killers, because when you project something, well, when you project about something or someone and that thing or that person does not deliver, what's the next place we go? We go into judgment of either us or them, and we go into being disappointed, which eliminates the gratitude. And so what gratitude does is gratitude allows you to receive the gift even for something that doesn't look like a gift. And so what it really does, it allows you to see the entire universe through the eyes of being gifted to every experience, every possibility. And one of the other things is they've done so many studies on gratitude at this point, which I think is just so cool. But one of the elements of creating the most successful relationships, they did this study with couples who were married for over 10 up to, I think, 20 some years. And they found that the primary element that determined their satisfaction with their relationship was whether or not they expressed gratitude for each other on a regular basis. And so it's an interesting thing to realize that the choice to be grateful, what it does is it allows you to receive the gift that is within something, no matter what the something is. And it's like, whoa, because one of our difficulties that we all experience planet-wide, let's say, is in receiving. And why do we experience that? Because we've been taught to judge that this is good, this is bad, and I'm bad if I receive bad stuff, and I'm a bad person, and then this is good, and I should only receive this. But once again, you're trying to cut the universe in half and only take half of the universe. What gratitude does is allow us to receive the entire thing from a space in which we're actually willing to see the gift of any part of it. As an example, when I was a kid, our family had a family business. And I just thought, you know, being a kid, you sort of take the path of least resistance a lot of times. And I apparently was definitely going down that road. And I was looking forward to, you know, going to college, studying business, coming back, running the business, blah, blah, blah. And when I was 17, the business fell apart and got destroyed within the course of about 18 months, gone. It was also going to be the thing that was going to help me pay for college and all kinds of other things. And it was interesting because the eyes I was looking through at the time, I was really dejected. I was really distraught. And I had a friend who knew my family and knew the business and had worked with them at a certain point, who pulled me aside and said, "Dane, I can see how upset you are because you were planning on taking this over." He said, "But what if this is the greatest thing that could ever happen to you?" And I went, "What?" And so I didn't have access consciousness tools at the time, one of which is asking a question rather than coming to a conclusion. But what I did start looking at was, okay, what if this is a gift? What if this is a gift? What if this is a gift? It took me quite a while to recognize, but it was truly one of the greatest gifts of my life up until that point, because what it meant after that was I got to choose my future. But I also had to create my future. So I got to choose it and I had to create it. And that one shift in being able to be grateful for it changed the trajectory of everything that later became possible, because I wasn't stuck in this is wrong, they're bad, I'm bad, this didn't go where I expected it to. And so gratitude, do it, choose it, go for it. Gratitude list is one of the coolest things. And one of the other things is a miracle list. Because I used to suggest that people write a gratitude list, like I'm sure many of us have. And what I realized was one of the things that can be even more effective and add the gratitude is when you write a miracle list. When you write down a list of all the tiny little miracles that occur, as you do, you're also grateful for it, but you're also acknowledging, oh, this is a miracle. This is a great thing that happened. Ooh, I got 10% off on this. Ooh, this person gave me another thing. Or ooh, this wasn't going to turn out well, and I didn't have to do it. Like just the tiniest of miracles. If you do a miracle list and just write down every tiny miracle, after about a week of those, you realize you're actually living in a world of miracles of your own creation.
This is an epic idea. I've got a business card that has my details on one side and it says expect the miracle on the other side. And when people ask, you know, what's the miracle? They think that it's me or what I'm going to deliver them. And I said, just look in the mirror. Yeah. It always changes the conversations. We're surrounded by miracles. And it's in every religious scripture around the world, every tradition, every religion, every culture. You know, as it says in the Bible, you focus on what you're grateful for, you get more to be grateful for. If you don't focus on the things that you've been blessed, and it'll be taken from you, for such as universal law. So let's really maybe even think about a couple of things in our lives that we felt has been a curse. And we do a similar process in our work as well, where we literally see it from the aspect of consciousness rather than the limited self or the lower self, and actually project if we are a spirit and a soul having a human experience, and how did this happen for me rather to me? We do a list of gratitude and benefits. And now we're taking it to the next level. I love this, a miracle list. This is going to be happening in my life as well. Thank you for that beautiful share, a miracle list. And of course, what we focus on is what we find. Last question for you. You ready?
I'm ready.
I want you to now imagine that you are on the world stage. Every sentient being alive has gathered here and they're watching. When you're ready, take a breath, take as long as you need, and please do share. What is your message to the world right now?
Now truly is our time and our space to wake up to the greatness that each of us is as a being embodied. We have had billions of experiences. We have had trillions of experiences, billions of embodiments, perhaps. And the underlying nature of reality, though it has appeared to be one of limitation that cannot be overcome, that is the greatest lie we have ever bought. And now is the space for all of the lies to dissolve, to allow the truth of our being to shine and thrive, and to be the contribution and the gifting and receiving simultaneously with each other. And now is also the space for those who desire to maintain separation, destruction, diminishment of others, to no longer have the freedom to do so, for all of us to recognize that the gift that we bring to the world is one of truly infinite possibilities and consciousness for all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Elevating that prayer, my brother. That is brilliant. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Dane here, that is drdainheer.com. drdainheer.com. Same thing on YouTube, Dr. Dane here. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Yes, you are.
Perfect. I was practicing. Same thing on Instagram, which is Dane here without the doctor. So just DAINHEER. Same thing on Facebook and LinkedIn. I just want to say thank you so much for your time. This has been absolutely brilliant. I love the synchronicities in between your work and the work that we do. You're absolutely right. People are going to love this. Now, I don't know if this is something that I need to say again, but if you've enjoyed this interview, please share it far and wide, because you never know how far it could go and how many lives you could touch by just pressing that button and sharing it on. Thank you so much, brother, for the light that you bring to the world, for the instrument of consciousness that you are, and for the conversation that we've had today. I'm profoundly grateful, and my beingness is excited. And indeed, I'm feeling very light. So thank you once again.
Thank you, my brother. It has been an honor and a pleasure. And thank you all for watching and listening.
Once again, thank you so much for listening. And if you want to learn more about how to walk the quantum path into life mastery, business mastery, if you want to learn more about our live events or coaching or anything that we offer, go to www.drespen.com. That's DRESPEN.com, or email info@drespen.com. And let's find out how we can help you take your life, your business, and your mission to a whole nother level. We'll see you next time.